Well, we welcome you this evening and those who are online to this evening's worship service, and we will make a start here this evening singing 607. He hideth my soul, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. Let us stand to sing the entire hymn. You may be seated. Another one of Fanny Crosby's great hymns. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine. May we rejoice here tonight, not because of our circumstance, but rejoice because we're saved. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again that we can come and meet with the living God. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast truly visited us today, this day. And Lord, we ask of Thee that Thou would do it again, we pray, for we cannot rely upon this morning service. Lord, we pray once again that Thou would let loose the gospel message. And Lord, we pray that Thy name would be exalted above all else. Lord, we pray once again, we pray for this church. Lord, we pray for the hearers of the word, each and every individual person here. Lord, that Thou would meet with Thee. Thou dost see the needs of Thy people. Thou dost see the great burdens. Lord, we pray that Thou dost have all the answers. And Lord, we look to Thee at this time. And Lord, we pray once again that Thou would meet with us here in a special way. We think of the other churches proclaiming the gospel message. Lord, we ask of Thee that Thou would truly come down in a mighty way. And Lord, for Thou hast even taught us this morning about the two paths of life. Lord, we pray that Thou would, it would be Thy desire here to meet with us. And oh God, we pray, thinking, Lord, of the lost, for we all have them. We think of household salvation, those in our homes, those workmates that we work with. Lord, we pray for them. And oh Lord, that they would come to a saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray once again for Thy word. May it be received here tonight with an open heart. We pray, oh Lord, that tonight would be the ministry of God. Lord, we ask of Thee for help. We think, O Lord, of our framework, that we are but the mere dust of the ground. And Lord, unless Thou dost visit us in mercy here, what could we possibly accomplish? And Lord, we ask of Thee once again. We thank Thee, Lord, for what Thou hast done in the past. And Lord, we pray and thank Thee what Thou art going to do in the future. We look to Thee at this time. And Lord, we think of all those who need a special touch of the Savior. We think of those who are here tonight, those who are in sickness, those who have a pain in their body. Lord, we pray for them. And Lord, we ask that Thou would touch them for one touch of the Master's hand. And Lord, we lift up those that who do need Thy help. We think of Reverend Bodner at this time. We think that Thou would meet with him, that he would know that the Savior is near to him. Lord, we think of Serene and all those others who need a touch from God. We think of Reggie Cranston at this time. We pray that Thou would be with the service in Port Hope. And Lord, we pray that they would know that the Savior is very near. We think of Let the Bible Speak radio ministry. We think, O Lord, that Thou would continue to bless the gospel as it goes over the air. And Lord, that Thou would truly bring conviction of heart. And Lord, that there would be a true great revival in this country. Lord, we also think of this country. And Lord, we pray for it. We pray, O Lord, that Thou would have Thy hand in it. Lord, let the gospel loose in this country. May there be truly a hunger and thirst for God. Bring revival, we pray, for Lord, we desperately need it. Open the floodgates of heaven, we pray. Give us that sound of abundance of rain. And Lord, may it please Thee, as Isaiah prayed, if Thou would rend the heavens and come down. Lord, we need Thy help. We think of the saints as what they used to say, Lord, we dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. But Lord, as we enter to the Holy of the Holiest, we pray for grace and for mercy. For Lord Jesus, Thou art prophet, priest, and king. And Lord, we pray as we look to Thee at this time, may there be a fresh vision of the Savior. And Lord, may it please Thee to meet with each and every one of us. Give us encouragement, we pray. Bless us through Thy word. For we ask of all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Let us turn to another hymn, 637. In the sweet by and by, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Let us stand and sing the entire hymn. Amen. You may be seated. Very good singing tonight. As we do sing our praise to God. Please take your Bibles this evening, and if you can please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we will read the first 14 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And may the Lord add his own blessing to his inspired, infallible, and inherent word. And it is a pleasure once again to be in your midst here tonight, as I do know our time is running short, as I only have one more service next week with you. But I do pray that tonight will be a blessing to your own heart, and that you truly would see the finger of God move even here tonight. Just a couple of announcements. It was quite funny as we drove by a sign as it said, "Whoever is praying for snow, please stop." So I wanted to share that with you. So I don't know if it's one of you people in the congregation, but someone wants you to stop praying for the snow. So we can have a laugh with that. But we thank the Lord for all weather, as we do trust that spring is coming around the corner, and that we would be able to sing, as we just sang, on that beautiful shore. We can see the sunshine. So we pray that the Lord would bring good weather our way. So do remember all our prayer requests as well. Health concerns for Pastor Bodner as well, as he did not get a good report there. And I'm sure he would covet your prayers at this time. And also Serene, She would covet your prayers there as well as you meet with God and bring these servants up to the Lord. We do pray for a healing touch from the Savior. Do also remember those traveling mercies for those who are traveling. We think of our own pastor here, Dr. Saunders, and his family. We pray that the Lord would make it a blessed time and that they would make it back here safely indeed. Also for James Frazier as well, as they are traveling to the States as well. And also George Robinson, as he goes to Northern Ireland, that the Lord's hand of protection would be upon our brother. And do remember some other announcements, as we do remember that there will be a youth choir practice after the evening service. And do also remember the prayer meeting, same time, 7:30 p.m., as we encourage all those to be there in the time of prayer. And do remember this coming Friday, which would be 6 p.m., Gym Fellowship, and also Saturday, as we come close to Easter, the Easter Conference, March 25th at 1 p.m., Truth in My Days. You can see the poster there in the front foyer, the Easter Conference, and Pastor John Torres at TFPC. Everyone is invited. And also do remember next Lord's Day services, as we do already start to pray for next Lord's Day, 9:55 a.m., Sunday School for All Ages, and also 11 a.m. and 6:30 for both morning and evening service. And Dr. Saunders trusts to be the speaker for both those services indeed. Those are all the necessary announcements, and we will turn to another hymn, 297. Only trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. May that be our testimony here tonight, to trust in God's infallible Word. Let us stand to sing the entire hymn.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles again, if you can turn to John's Gospel, chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we will read from verses 25 to 40. Please note verse 37, as that will be our text for tonight. John 6, and we'll commence at verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will, saith the Lord, raise him up at the last day. Once again, verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let us bow our heads in prayer, asking for the Lord's help in this evening's worship service. Our Father and our God, we thank thee once again that we can come to thy throne of grace. We ask thee, Lord, now that thou would go before us as we open up thy word. We pray, O Lord, that there would be a receiving ear to what thou dost have to tell us here tonight. We pray once again, O Lord, for the movement of the Spirit of the living God. We pray, O Lord, that hearts would be blessed. We pray, O Lord, that we would leave this place encouraged, even in the Lord. So, Lord, we pray once again and ask for thy help. May it be thy desire, Lord, to visit us in mercy here. Be with us, we pray. Give special help to the speaker, we pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Ever since after COVID-19, homelessness is on the rise. And as you can see, if you were paying attention on the news, in certain cities, they would show various media cameras on whole streets of homeless people. Homeless people that have nowhere to go, and they are in their rags, and they simply have nowhere to go. The rise has been excruciating, and even politicians are baffled by the rates of this increased homelessness, and even they are baffled on what to do. There was a story once of a prince going back to the medieval times that had the same problem in his city. There was a homage of homeless people that he didn't know what to do. He was a compassionate prince who cried for the state of his people in the city that he ruled. He decided to go to his palace and ask his advisor where most of these people walk by. And his advisor said, "The front gate, you can see them daily as they pass by." So the compassionate prince, he inscribed the following words on top of the gate of his castle as the homeless would pass by. He put the following words, saying, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Here he goes on, with all the poor beggars reading it, they did not need these words to be explained to them, for they understood as they walked by, and they came as they were, with their rags and with not many possessions. They came exactly as they were, and they began to meet at that front gate. The good prince kept his word and received all of those who asked for help. And his entrance gate began to fill up with the lost in his city. How much more then, I tell you, has Jesus, the Prince of Peace, proclaimed these words in large, shining letters above his gates of grace, and ever kept his promise to help all the lost sinners to come to him. In the context of this reading, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. There is a great miracle here, as we just witnessed here, of the feeding of the 5,000, but the crowd failed to see the significance of the miracle. They failed to see the significance of the miracle and responded only to the free food that was provided. The crowd then begins to ask, "How can we do the works of God?" And Jesus tells them, "The work of God is to believe on Him." This then leads us to our text in John 6, verse 37, as he concludes this miraculous miracle. You can say, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, saith the Lord." As we go to start and begin in verse 25, that Jesus is the true bread from heaven, as it states in verse 25, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So the Lord Jesus Christ has called their number, firstly, by not believing in him, but just taking the free food that was given. Even a miracle that was right in front of their eyes wasn't enough to bring them to a saving grace. And as you minister to many people today, well, many of the answers you'll get, "If only I could see something. If only I could see something, well, then I would believe." But I tell you, you wouldn't. I tell you wouldn't, because there were many that seen the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and they left unbelieving. They would have seen and witnessed this great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and they would have left unregenerate in their way. And then we see, friend, whether you're struggling with blessed assurance here tonight, or if you're simply an unbeliever, I want to preach to you here about blessed assurance that we have in our Lord. Firstly, then, I want to show you the substance, all that the Father giveth me. Let us look at those words as it says here, all that the Father giveth me. The substance here is noted in the word all. If you can see that, the word all, this means all those that will come to know the Lord, those in the entire world that the Lord will save, that will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The elect of God are those who He has chosen to salvation according to His own sovereign will. Well, we don't know who the Lord's going to save, and that's why we evangelize. That's why we go out soul winning for the Lord, because we really don't know. And we preach the gospel to every creature. And here we know that God knows all of those that will come to His Son and be saved. Well, simply because He knows all things. The Lord knows every single thing. God does not act in a random way, nor does He interfere with the human will. We see here the effectual call of God as we notice the great account in Matthew chapter 4. If you can turn to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18, we see the effectual call of God. I want to show you that it's not of man, but here we see the calling of the first four disciples. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 4, it says here, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Notice verse 19 as it goes on to say, "And he saith unto them, Follow me." There's that effectual call of God when He calls those, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It was a great call, and it says there in verse 20, "And they straightway left their nets and followed Him." And there we see that effectual call of God, that we know that all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And there we see they put down what they were doing to go and follow the Savior. And notice once again, and notice Christ, what He says in chapter 5, verse 40, as He goes to call out those Pharisees, He goes to them, He says to them, "Ye will not come to me." He's telling them, He's saying, "You will not come to me." Man has complete inability when coming to salvation. That's what the Lord is showing them. He's saying, if it's left to yourself, He's saying, you're not going to come. "Ye will not come to me." Man has complete inability when coming to salvation. He cannot save himself. He cannot save himself, nor can his own will save him. He needs God to draw him to Christ. There needs to be a supernatural, as we say, the Spirit of the living God to draw and convince the sinner of his sin. And here we see, notice the words in verse 44, "No man can come to me." The Lord Jesus Christ, He confirms this as He says in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." There it is again, as we see that great effectual call of the working of the Spirit of God, "except the Father which sent me draw him." There's that great drawing power. We see the power of the call of God. This is the work of the Spirit of God, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ. This is the work of the Spirit. here, which enables us to believe and embrace Christ as Savior. So I ask the question, how can one draw himself to believe? Well, many believe that you can just work yourself up and you can get saved whenever you want to get saved. But remember, as we sang, that hymn, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Dare not pass me by, because when the Lord says to you that ye will not come, my friend, you can have the best preacher come to town. You can have the greatest message preached to your heart. But if the Spirit of God does not work upon you, well, we see, friend, no man can come except the Father which sent me draw him. And son, that's a great word of warning to those who reject the gospel message. If you keep on rejecting, well, the Lord can withhold his Spirit. And to come to salvation, well, it could be a very hard thing. As we see here, as the Lord confronts the Pharisees, as he says that ye will not come. Well, how can one draw himself to believe? Well, it simply cannot be done. It cannot be done. We are by nature rejecting of God because of our fallen nature. It is only through the exercise of divine power upon the soul, immediate spiritual and supernatural communicating a new spiritual life as we get into the inner workings of salvation, what actually takes place when the Lord saves. I notice also here in the text, as it says, the Father giveth me. That God the Father has given His Son a people to be saved. God chose the elect people before the world was even created. The Lord knew you even before the world was created. As we read in Ephesians 1 verse 4, it says there, it says, according as He hath chosen us, there's the saved, those are the elect, you can say, in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And friends, it brings us secondly to Christ's willingness to receive sinners. As we stated before that there are those that will not come, here we see the willingness of Christ to receive sinners. Come to me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the free invitation of the gospel message. As He calls all, He says, come to me, says the Lord. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, there it is, the great invitation from the Lord Himself. But in this world, we see that by nature, man rejects the gospel message. As we touch base this morning, that Paul was telling us about the offense of a gospel, of the gospel message. It's an offense. It brings great offense when you minister to someone, and it's an offense to them. You can't call me a sinner. Paul talks about the offense of the gospel. But here it is, the great invitation from the Lord Himself. Come, says the Lord. This is the great encouragement that shows the willingness of Christ to receive us. He's willing to do it. And therefore, we must regard Him as the only way to life, the only door of hope. And we must believe in Him as appointed of God to be our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And there, as we point to Him, and friend, if you're not a believer here tonight, and you're saying to yourself that God has made it very hard for me to come, well, I tell you, that's not true. I tell you, that's not true. God does not encourage you to come unto Him and then make it an impossibility for you to be saved. The Lord doesn't do that. Here, whatever is said about the sovereignty of God and salvation, God does not set up a random, impossible, and unattainable term for coming to Christ. And that brings us here, thirdly, to the surety of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are struggling with salvation assurance, blessed assurance, may this text truly bring a great joy to your heart, because we can truly see the surety of Christ to receive you. All shall come to me. All shall come to me. Every person that God has given His Son will surely be saved. This is something surely that will happen. It's not, there's no such thing as you can say as half salvation. You can't wake up one day and think you're saved and then the other day you think you're not saved anymore. All shall come to me, the Lord Jesus says. And here it is a certain thing. It's not something that might happen, but by the grace of God, that those who believe will be saved. It's something that will happen. By coming to Christ, we come by believing. And this is intended by the Lord's words as He explains to us coming and believing. They go hand in hand, those two words. Many times the Lord talks about coming and believing in Him, as He said that this be the will of God for you to believe in Me, as He shows them. It goes on to say in verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. As the Lord Jesus Christ, He points to Himself. And then it goes on to say in verse 33, it says, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then He goes on in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He begins to show them and explain to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. Because those that saw the miracle that day, they were only filled for a moment of time. And then the hunger came back. The worldly material food was not able to suffice the soul. And Jesus Christ, He shows them that you're going to keep hungering unless you get the true bread. And He points to Himself. And once again in verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen Me, and believe not. He points to Himself as a surety that those that will come to Him will be sufficed in their soul. Their souls will be saved. There will be no more hungering, as you can say. And the words coming and believing being perfectly used interchangeably. To come to Christ filled with unbelief would be an insult to Him rather than to bring honor. This great command also shows the duty of men and women to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will that you would accept His Son. Yes, the elect people are chosen by God, but it does not override God's grace. It goes hand in hand with God's will. This wonderful truth is that whoever comes to Christ, none shall be rejected. And that's something that we can joy about here tonight. As we touch base on those homeless people, you can say that even as they come as they are with rags and not many things and maybe a life that has been very hard, none are to be rejected. Here, this wonderful truth is that whoever comes to Christ, none shall be rejected. Christ does not reject those who come to Him. Many unbelievers are greatly discouraged about their past, and they say to themselves, my past is just too sinful. The Lord will not take me. You come as you are, and the Lord is saying, it is evident throughout Scripture that many vile characters who were in complete depravity were not rejected by Christ. We think of the great King Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings, but to the end he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord spared him in His mercy. We think of all those wicked creatures throughout times past that have come to a saving grace of the Lord. And this great truth shows us the mercy of our Lord willing to receive the lost. He's willing to do it. And let us look here at our last point here, the security in the ways of Christ. Him that cometh to me, notice these words as it portrays the only way of salvation. In this context, we see the Jews asking for a sign. In chapter 6, verse 30, they ask for a sign as they say, as it says here, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Well, we're living in a time that many want to see a sign. Churches that go after the miracles rather than the preaching of the gospel. And we see great crowds that those would rather see the miracles, something supernatural, but rather they would shut the ears to the preaching of the gospel. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Christ revealed himself as the only way of salvation with his great I am sayings. As he goes on multiple times, we see Christ using these words clearly to teach that he is the Son of God. We see this in chapter 6, verse 35, 8, verse 12, 10, verse 7, 11, verse 25, 14, verse 6. 15 verse 1, I'm giving you some references. Therefore, we must not be ignorant to the great I am statements by our Lord to the ignorant Jews who challenged the authority of Christ. When they went to Christ and they said, we have Abraham. What did the Lord say? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He goes on to say, I am the bread of life. As we just read, I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, saith the Lord God of hosts. Him that cometh to me, Christ is the secure way, the only way. If you want to seek him, then you must go to him. Being saved is not just partaking in ritualistic practice. It's not just being baptized, not just being a member of a church. You see, it's those who go to Christ and accept that free invitation of the gospel message, who walk the secure way unto salvation through Christ. And there is the blessed assurance that we have tonight. I will in no wise cast out. There's the blessed assurance we have. Christ, with his golden promise, can give us great encouragement. His promise points to the security of the believer. When the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says that none shall pluck thee out of my hand. We're not to base our salvation on our feelings, because quite simply, our feelings change. And simply those who teach that you can lose your salvation, but that's not true. The Bible does not say anything that you can lose your salvation. It talks about eternal security in the Father's hand. None shall pluck thee out of my hand. And here we know that we all are to kept secure. And Jesus said, no, not just the preachers, not just the missionaries, but all. This goes directly with the Father's will as stated in verse 40 as we read. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up on the last day. You see, the eternal security lies in Christ, not with our feelings or our circumstances, but it lies within Christ himself. I, he says, the incarnate Son of the living God, the Creator of the heaven and earth, in whom resides all the fullness of the Godhead, in which all power is given from heaven and earth, I will raise him up on the last day, saith the Lord. You see, friend, as your trust in Christ is secure, is something that we can be very encouraged with, that eternal life is in the possession of God, as we read, before even the foundation of the very world, when it was created, the Lord knew you. A very, very solemn text of Scripture. Here, to those who don't believe, the Lord will not cast you out. If you seek Him, this truly is your confidence to come to Christ. The free invitation of the free offer of the gospel. To accept Him and to accept Him as the bread of life. And to know that if you seek Him, this truly is your confidence to come. There is no fear in coming to Christ. There's only gain. It's only to gain. And I know those that would come to the doorsteps of heaven with their tears and they would cry, but they wouldn't come. They would simply say that they're too fearful to come. But I tell you, there is nothing to fear, but only to gain. And friend, as we come to conclusion, Christ is the great encouragement here to those who are afar off from Christ. If you keep Him at a distance, then there will be a distance in the life to come with that impossible gulf between heaven and hell. And I tell you, Christ bids you to come to Him. You must go to Him. Do not say, I cannot come, because the Lord, He makes it very easy. Do not say, I cannot come, for the truth is that you will not go. And here there is full security in Christ, full assurance that He will in no wise cast you out. Then, friend, I tell you, do not waste any time. Do not leave this place without seeking the Lord as Savior, for who knows the last breath you may take, and the door of mercy may be closed for good. And remember, salvation is not of works, as the Jews and the Pharisees would often try to perplex the Lord. But here we know that it is truly all of the grace of God. And just as the hymn writer says, I'll leave it before you, as he goes on to say, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow. All for sin would not atone, thou must save and thou alone. And you see, friends, you can know the eternal security of the Father, not trusting in any emotion, any life circumstance. We think of Job, who had the worst of circumstances. But he was able to say, in my Redeemer do I trust. The Lord said, my servant Job. So then, friend, I tell you, may you be encouraged here tonight to leave in full assurance of your salvation, knowing that the Lord will say, none shall pluck thee from my hand. May the Lord bless His word to us here this evening, and we will sing a closing hymn, 408. Another one of Fanny Crosby's great hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Let us stand to sing the entire hymn. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for Thy Word. We pray, O Lord, now that Thou would bless it to our hearts. We think, Lord, of Thy words when Thou didst say that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Lord, we are thankful for that free invitation of the gospel. Lord, we pray that Thou would visit us in mercy. Help everyone here, we pray. Deal with every need. Dismiss us now in Thy blessing, we pray. And once again, O Lord, we pray that Thou would bless Thy word. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.